Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
And good afternoon and welcome to this edition of News in Focus. Indeed, our world is turned upside down with the two mass shootings that took place in El Paso, Texas, and Dayton, Ohio, this past weekend. Obviously, it has shaken our nation, and discussion is on both sides. The rhetoric is very high. We as Christians need to be praying for a thoughtful, spiritual approach to this, as there is obviously an attack upon our nation. And that attack is, of course, the vitriol politically and ideology that young people have embraced. And then, unfortunately, these two individuals went out and took the lives of other people. We need to pray for the victims. We need to pray for the families that are grieving in both Texas and Ohio. And we need to pray for our legislators in Congress and here in the state of Ohio and throughout the country as they grapple with this new issue of mental illness as it pertains to these kinds of tragedies that have been thrust upon us in our generation. Well, let's continue to pray for that, and I know that you are with your family, and we at the Ohio Christian Alliance are grieving, and we're praying for these folks that have been affected. It's going to be a long road for them in recovery, and of course, to be consoled by many that we care for them, and we share the love and sadness and sorrow with them. President Trump, of course, is visiting in both El Paso and in Dayton, Ohio, this afternoon to extend his condolences. Let's pray for our political leaders. Let's pray for the healing of our nation. Well, I want to turn a corner here and talk about a local issue that the Ohio Christian Alliance has been assisting a local community citizens group in Medina City, that's in Medina County, and an ordinance was passed there early last month in July by the city council, and it's what's called a sexual orientation gender identity law, or ordinance. This ordinance was not asked for by the citizens at large, but a small select group was pushing this through city council. This has been this kind of ordinance has been passed in Cauga County and some other liberal areas around our state. But by and large, these laws, they're not necessary. They are special rights for LGBTQ individuals. Well, the concern is with the public accommodation portion of the ordinance. It allows for members of the opposite sex to use the restrooms, showers, locker rooms of their choice. And you can understand that even in the city schools, where this would present a growing concern and problem for parents who have children in school in Medina City. That's why, after the council in a 5-2 decision on July 8th passed the ordinance, over the objections of members of the community, a referendum petition was launched. The Ohio Christian Alliance helped a citizens group to circulate the petition. In fact, it was the first referendum that was circulated since 1981 in the city, so it's not been done very often. A referendum, of course, puts the matter on the ballot. Well, we have an update for you. The referendum petition won't go on the November 2019 ballot because the fiscal officer who took the petitions is taking the opportunity to hold them for 10 days, which carries us past the filing deadline of August 7th. What the Ohio Revised Code states is that it will then be on the next general election ballot that will be in 2020. It also states that that ordinance will not go into effect, repeat, will not go into effect until it is decided by the voters. So this is really a major victory for the grassroots concerned citizens of Medina City who worked for this circulation of the referendum petition. And of course, they'll have 15 months to educate their fellow residents on the issue and, of course, turn back this ordinance, this ill-conceived idea. Well, we also want to tell you about an upcoming event with the Ohio Christian Alliance. Our Fall Freedom Banquet is coming with David Barton of the Wall Builders. Will be with us Friday, September 27th. That will be at the Crown Plaza in Columbus. And the information for tickets and table sponsorships are available on our website at ohioca.org. Just Google Ohio Christian Alliance and register today. We would like to have you there. David Barton, of course, is an excellent author and historian. He'll be talking about the Constitution, and we're going to have him focus on the importance of the Electoral College vote. You've heard a lot about that. Various states moving forward to do away with the Electoral College. Well, that's the basis of our representative republic in this country. We're not a simple democracy, but a representative republic. And remember what Ben Franklin said when he emerged from Constitutional Hall. He said, you have a republic, madam, if you can keep it. And that's what we endeavor to do here at the Ohio Christian Alliance. So please join us for our Fall Freedom Banquet, Friday, September 27th. That's 6 p.m. for a reception, 7 o'clock dinner with David Barton and other special guests. Well, with me on the phone is a special guest. He's a good friend of the Ohio Christian Alliance, a good friend of mine, and he's been in the fight on family matters for a long time. His name is Greg Quinlan. He is founder and president of Garden State Families, and that's in New Jersey, and he is fighting the good fight for pro-life and pro-family issues there in the state of New Jersey. Greg, of course, has his own personal testimony as he left the homosexual lifestyle in 1992. Greg was a gay activist for 10 years, lobbying in Washington and in D.C. and Ohio for homosexual agenda. As an LPN and as a registered nurse, he watched over 100 of his friends and acquaintances die of AIDS. He has shared his testimony in the 700 Club, TBN, and countless radio and television programs. And with us today to talk about these SOGI laws is Greg Quinlan. Greg, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me. There's a lot going on all these issues. It's absolutely ridiculous. But can I say, just make one blanket statement? One of the reasons all this is happening is because the church has been too afraid to preach the truth. And I know I'm using a big broom here, but truth is truth. It's not relative. It doesn't matter, and it should never matter to those of us who worship the Lord Jesus Christ to proclaim the truth in love. But brethren, it isn't love until you tell the truth. So this is why we are where we are, because so many ministers, preachers, businessmen, and all that are so worried about being hated, not liked, or being accused of being a hater or a bigot. They have just, what they've done is they've gone silent, and silence will never bring a soul to Christ.
Amen. Absolutely, Greg. And you've been fighting this fight for a long time. In fact, as you came from the other side, as far as a homosexual activist yourself back in the day, you alerted the family groups as you'd rededicate your life to Jesus Christ. You really educated on all of us on what the agenda was a couple of decades ago, where we're at today is actually what you stated they were heading. The Human Rights Campaign, of course, which is the homosexual lobbying group both nationally and internationally, and even down on a local level, is the one that's pushing forward with these homosexual ordinances, what's called SOGI laws, sexual orientation, gender identity. The language within these laws or ordinances is ambiguous. It's intended to be so. So to set it basically put it off kilter, anyone who seeks to oppose them. And, of course, then they just say that you're hateful and that you're bigoted and that you're narrow-minded.
Yeah, this point has to be made for every listener here. Every bill, every law, every ordinance, every policy initiative that promotes the LGBTQI-XYZ, because they've extended beyond the alphabet with their identities, with their own labels. Every time one of these things passes, it diminishes, silences, and it absolutely interferes with your First Amendment rights, with the freedom to exercise your religion, with the freedom of your speech, with the freedom of dissent, with the freedom to redress grievances to your government. This is a dangerous, dangerous, dangerous thing, and it has to be stopped. The only way it can be stopped is for the church and for people of faith, for people of common sense, to get up and organize. You don't have to be necessarily religious to understand that nature is nature and no one is born gay. And let me give you that piece of scientific evidence. How do I prove a negative? By all the studies and science and research that's gone on to prove that somebody's born gay, that has proved nothing of the sort. Back in 1990-something, under Bill Clinton, he initiated the Human Genome Project. And the Human Genome Project was to map the human genome. It was a payback to the Human Rights Campaign Fund, the organization I used to be with, which is now just HRC, Human Rights Campaign, because they helped get him elected. Democrat Bill Clinton appointed Democrat Dr. Francis Collins, world-renowned biologic researcher and geneticist, to head up the Human Genome Project inside the National Institutes of Health. Multiple millions of dollars, a 13-year project, and at the end of the project, Dr. Francis Collins, world-renowned geneticist and a Democrat, I'm stressing that because he wasn't a Republican, was that he said this in his own book, quote, homosexuality is not hardwired, end quote. There is no gay gene. The American Psychiatric Association in 2000 said this, quote, there are no replicated scientific studies supporting any specific biologic etiology for homosexuality, end quote. That isn't scripture. That's the American Psychiatric Association, the very organization that actually is suggesting that to be very religious is a mental illness. There are many inside these mental health organizations actually saying that. But they said that no one is born gay also. No evidence exists. They've never rescinded, amended, or changed that statement. Why? Because nothing has changed. In 8 years later, in 2008, the American Psychological Association, the non-MDs, said the same thing using two paragraphs to do it. Bottom line, there remains zero evidence, zero that anyone is born a homosexual. I tell you this as someone who's lived the gay lifestyle, been out of it for over 27 years. Homosexuality is a developmental gender identity disorder, developed, not innate, acquired, not inborn. And through therapy, through work, through understanding how you developed those tendencies, how you developed those desires for same-sex attraction, you can overcome it. It's the scripture. It's Romans 12, 1 and 2, by the renewing of your mind. It's 2 Corinthians 10, where it says you have to take every thought captive and bring it to the obedience of Christ. It's what Jesus said by taking up your cross and following me. We have to crucify ourselves daily. Again, what Paul said. This is what it takes to follow the Lord. We all, there isn't a human being on the planet, whether they serve the Lord or not, that doesn't have issues that govern their lives that they don't want to govern their lives, that are not what the Lord intended. And all of us have to take stock in looking at the manufacturer's guidelines and following them. And that's the word of God.
Amen.
No one is born gay.
We are talking to Greg Quinlan. He is president and founder of the Center for Garden State Families in the state of New Jersey. Greg works and lobbies for pro-life, pro-family legislation at the state legislature in New Jersey. Previously, he worked here in Ohio and in other states with the Pro-Family Network. Greg, it's a privilege to have you on the program today to talk about this, and what a powerful testimony of one who's come out of the gay lifestyle. And so what we're hearing today repeatedly, in fact, we're hearing from the homosexual community shutting down clinics, counseling centers who are counseling people to come out of homosexuality, those who struggle with same-sex attraction, to go in to follow God's design, to hear, to really remodel their thinking. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So the Bible says, renew your mind. They're shutting down those kinds of counseling clinics across the country and actually making it a crime. Explain that to our audience.
Yes, they are. In fact, they're calling it, it's actually called reparative therapy. It's a psychodynamic therapy. It's only talk therapy. It was done by Dr. Joseph Nicolosi. His books have been banned by Amazon. Amazon has now become the book-burning master of the world. So they have decided what's free speech and what isn't free speech. And because Amazon is so large and so big, they can do this and get away with it. Here's the problem, folks. It's stopping real science, real therapy. And then they use this nonsense about electroshock therapy. They use this nonsense about, you know, IV therapy to induce vomiting when you have these ideations of same-sex attraction. All that's a ruse. It's all a lie. No licensed healthcare professional who practices sexual orientation change efforts called reparative therapy practices those things. All therapy seeks to repair something. If I have something in my life that I don't want, that is causing me problems, that is not the direction that I want, that's giving me emotional and mental anxieties and stresses, then I can go to a counselor who's licensed, and I should be able to and he has to, by his own professional standards, his or her own professional standards, it is patient-guided therapy. This is real. This is legal. This is right. This is integral. But what is happening now is that the homo fascist, and that is a real term that is actually descriptive of the homosexual movement and what they're trying to do. You see, you, brethren, and your Bible and your faith and the Constitution of the United States, which is a Christian document, and it's a Calvinist document. I'm not a Calvinist, but it's a Calvinist document, is in the way of their agenda. So what do? They want to take over the courts. They want to take over the schools. They want to take over the corporations. They want to take over the media. They want to take over Hollywood. They've done it. They've been successful while we have let them do it. While we have let them do it. We have let them do it. So I want to tell everybody, it's time now to stand up or there will be no standing up. There's no way we can stop this if we don't stand up and do it now.
We are talking with Greg Quinlan. He is president and founder of Garden State Families of the state of New Jersey. As an ex-homosexual coming out of the lifestyle, he has given his powerful testimony on many radio and television programs. But unfortunately, you've not heard Greg's testimony on Fox News, on CNN, or MSNBC. They've actually shut down the ex-gay narrative, and they've actually blackballed it from out in public view. So what you're hearing today is a very powerful testimony of a man who's come out of the lifestyle, who's actually working for pro-family, pro-life legislation in the state of New Jersey. Greg, I know that you've actually spent a lot of time reviewing the Kinsey Institute report and actually debunking its tenets. This is what's used in colleges and universities to push this narrative of the LGBTQ lifestyle. Your thoughts?
Taught as a fact, and it's fraudulent. Fraudulent. It's been proven fraudulent. Nothing that he said is true. Let's start with the children of Table 54. The children of Table 54 was where this man, Alfred Kinsey, said that children are orgasmic at birth. Now, who did he observe? What children could he have possibly observed? And these children would be alive today. So did he make this up, or is this man an outright pedophile?
Right.
Secondly, he said that 10% of the population is homosexual. Now, let's look at where he got that 10% at. This is not scientific at all. This is deliberate. This sexual pervert, bisexual pervert, and sadomasochist, and wife swapper, this is what he did at the University of Indiana, Bloomington. And here's what he said. He said that 10% of the male population is homosexual. He got that information from a prison in Illinois. The male population of a prison in Illinois, 10% of them were homosexual. You really think it was that low? Anyway, that's my point. The science is bogus. It's fraudulent. It's created. It's made up. It's not true.
And yet, this Kinsey report is what's being quoted in the narrative of the LGBTQ advocates all across the country, and it's a false science, folks. It's erroneous. Greg, thank you for your work in going out there and actually debating people on the subject of those who will debate you. You've been shut down. You've been called bigoted. You've been called hateful, and yet you're a man who's come out of the lifestyle. And so no tolerance on the left.
Yeah. Well, I'm just very sick, and I know you're about ready to end here, and we got time is limited. But let me do a quote from a lesbian who happens to be, she's a lesbian feminist activist, and she's also a psychologist. This is Camille Paglia. Quote, homosexuality is not normal. On the contrary, it's a challenge to the norm. Nature exists whether academics like it or not. And in nature, procreation is the single relentless rule. That is the norm. Our sexual bodies were designed for reproduction. No one is born gay. The idea is ridiculous. Homosexuality is not an adaptation, not an inborn trait.
That's pretty powerful coming from a woman who is an avowed lesbian.
Right. It's a choice. Homosexuality is an adaptation, not an inborn trait.
Well, folks, this has been a lot of information. If you've missed any of today's program, you could always hear it on our website at ohioca.org. The podcast will be there. Also, Greg, let's give your contact information. It's gardenstatefamilies.org. Again, that's gardenstatefamilies.org. And what's your phone number, Greg, of the organization so they can contact you in the state of New Jersey and they can follow your work there?
Absolutely. 973-668-5784. 973-668-5784. And I used to be the past president of PFOX, Parents and Friends of Ex-Gays and Gays, an international organization. So who helps parents and family members who have loved ones in the lifestyle.
And those of you that have family members in the state of New Jersey, please inform them of Greg's work and the work and the folks that are working with him in the state of New Jersey, because we all need to work together in the various states and really encourage each other. Courage begets courage. And as Greg, as you said, we just need to stand up and thank God for the people, the concerned citizens of Medina City, who didn't just take it lying down, who went to the city council, who objected, even though there was a room of supporters that were there. And by the way, these weren't people from the community. Some were. But they brought people in from the outside to kind of bully the residents into accepting this lifestyle and to accepting this really comprehensive ordinance, which would change the way that the city was functioning, especially with public restrooms, with businesses, and in the city schools. And the folks weren't going to have anything of it. And so thankfully, they stood up. They filed the petition for the referendum. It should be confirmed in another week or two, and it will be on the ballot in 2020. It will put a stop on the action of the ordinance, and then the voters will decide. Communities need to do this all across the country. Your thoughts?
Yes, they do need to do it all across the country, and on today's show, we barely scratched the surface on the depth of this issue.
Absolutely. Well, on part two, we have Josh Brown. This was an interview I did with our attorney a few weeks ago. A lot of good information about the Sochi laws, what's happening across the country. Greg, again, thanks so much for being my guest today. We'll have you back, my friend, and God bless you for the great work you're doing in the state of New Jersey for the cause of families and the pro-life movement.
Thank you very much. Prayers appreciated.
All right, absolutely. And then again, visit their website, gardenstatefamilies.org. Thanks for listening today. God bless. And tune in and tell a friend. Stay tuned for the interview with Josh Brown.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation, this day have set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, and our civilization, and to set free a suffering humanity.
and the soldiers who stormed the beaches of Normandy and the Allied liberation of Europe. On D-Day, all those warriors set out on their mission. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt led our nation in prayer.
The D-Day Prayer Project is an effort to add FDR's D-Day prayer in its entirety at the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. This wonderful historical presidential prayer will be a lasting tribute to our World War II veterans. If you'd like to make a contribution towards the effort of adding this prayer to the memorial, go to the website at ddayprayerproject.org. That's ddayprayerproject.org.
Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
And good afternoon and welcome to this edition of News in Focus. We're glad that you've joined us. Well, we're going to be talking about religious liberty this afternoon, and we're going to talk about it in specifics of how it's being challenged by the homosexual community with LGBTQ special rights ordinances or laws that are being passed across the country and in cities and villages and corporations and counties across the state of Ohio. Now, the state of Ohio currently does not have any specific or specialized protections for the so-called LGBTQ individuals, and we're going to talk about what happened in Medina, the city of Medina, down in Medina, Ohio, the county, in Medina City. An ordinance was passed on Monday night. The Ohio Christian Alliance was there, some of our board members, and I presented before the city council, and we're going to get to that in just a few minutes. With me on the phone is attorney Josh Brown. He is an attorney in Columbus, Ohio. He also represents the Ohio Christian Alliance in a number of issues, and he'll be weighing in on this and the problem that these type of laws present or ordinances. Good afternoon, Josh.
Afternoon, sir.
Thank you for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Well, here's what the approach we took on Monday night. We basically asked the council to delay, actually to vote against or delay the vote so that no more residents could weigh in. Unfortunately, they did not take our advice, and they went forward with the vote. But here's what we said in the letter. The Ohio Christian Alliance has been contacted by a number of concerned residents from the city of Medina concerning the proposed SOGI City Ordinance number 717. Citizens expressed their concern with how quickly this comprehensive ordinance was being pushed through City Council for approval without an appropriate amount of public input and opportunity for comment from business leaders, members of the clergy, citizens of the city of Medina. Some of those residents are waiting for their opportunity to share their concerns tonight, and that was Monday night. The proposed ordinance grants special rights beyond existing laws under Ohio and U.S. constitutions. Ordinance 717, the LGBTQ Special Rights Protection Ordinance of the City of Medina, also presents a threat to religious organizations and societies that hold sincerely held religious beliefs. The language that is in the ordinance is ambiguous and undefined. The term gender identity or expression is not defined within law in either Ohio or U.S. Constitution. The attempt to enforce such an ambiguous, undefined ordinance is fraught with problems for law enforcement and city officials. Laws that seek to equate sexual orientation and gender identity, SOGI laws, with classes such as race and sex, do so based on ambiguous and undefinable terms. The ambiguity works to their advantage as it helps to disguise the true underlying and nefarious motivation of such laws. They seek to intimidate by threatening with punitive lawsuits and boycotts those who do not agree with them about their chosen lifestyle. I have spoken to some business leaders, members of the clergy, and some citizens who are intimidated to speak publicly for fear of reprisal. Thankfully, there are a number here tonight to speak out in opposition to the proposed city ordinance, the sexual orientation or gender identity or expression ordinance. We are asking the members of this council, that's Medina City Council, to vote no, or at a minimum, postpone the vote so that the concerns of the residents of the city of Medina can be addressed with additional public hearings. Well, what ensued was somewhat of a circus. You had members of the LGBTQ community that came in from outside the city of Medina. They packed the city hall. But even at that, their numbers were about 60-40. There was 40% of actual regular citizens who showed up to a city council meeting, which is kind of an ado in itself, because normally even the city council said we normally don't get many people down here. Because what does city council do? Well, they do things like for zoning and things like that. And unless there's some major problem, people normally don't go to the city council meetings. They'll read about it in the paper or something, but they'll ask their city councilman. But this one was packed with over 200 people in the city chamber hall on Monday night. And again, 40% of them were opponents. And these were some individuals and then people that reached out to us, the Ohio Christian Alliance, to come in and express their opposition to this proposed ordinance, of actually a comprehensive ordinance that provides for public housing, accommodation, hiring, and public accommodation. And what does that mean? Well, that means men who think that they're women going into women's restrooms. In fact, then, there were citizens that came forward. One lady who came forward said, "You're not giving into effect or concern about my daughter who goes to Medina City Schools, who may be faced with a young man who thinks he's a woman coming into her locker room, her restroom, going into the showers." And they just, over all of those concerns, instead of postponing the vote to hear from more concerned citizens, they went forward in a 5-2 vote, and we're thankful for the two no votes. One gentleman that was on the council said, "You know, these cases right now in the conflict of rights of religious liberty and personal conscience are being discussed on the federal level in the courts. Shouldn't we wait for the courts to make their decision before we as a city council move forward with such a comprehensive ordinance?" I agree with him, and that's Bob Starcher. He should be commended. The other one was Paul Rose. He was a no vote on this as well. Well, to discuss it and to break down what problems now will ensue for the city, and that's another thing, people were saying, what about the lawsuits that could possibly be because you're making this new defined right or privilege within the law? Josh, your thoughts.
Yes, thanks, Chris. The the laws are innocuous and sort of nice on their face, but once you dig into the cases that they produce, you see how nefarious they can be. What they do is they assimilate two different things. On the first hand, you have a psychological disposition inwardly towards same-sex attraction. The other thing is to deliberately orient your behavior to express or manifest or endorse homosexual conduct or forms of lifestyles that are involve that type of conduct and all the different manifestations that people want to engage in. And so when they talk about trying to protect people that have same-sex attraction, but what it's really about is the affirmations that they're seeking from people. They want to behave and promote certain views, and they want to force other people to also promote those views. And there's no better example of that than the Masterpiece Cake Shop versus Colorado Civil Rights Commission, decided by the Supreme Court last year. In that case, you had a individual named Jack Phillips who didn't just bake cakes. Everyone talks about him baking cakes, but he did not bake cakes. He did custom art on cakes. He's what you call a cake artist. And he was asked by a homosexual couple to do artwork that promoted their lifestyle. And when he refused to do that, which is similar to, say, a Jewish person refusing to do a Nazi cake, or someone, or a Democrat refusing to do a Republican cake, it's the same type of thing. When he refused to do it, they got angry and they went to the Civil Rights Commission. And the Civil Rights Commission said that he had to do whatever artwork they asked him to do. And then that went all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in Mr. Phillips's favor, saying that people cannot force you to say things or express points of view that you don't agree with. And so that's why these types of laws are very misleading and dangerous.
Well, that's right. We're talking to Attorney Josh Brown. We're talking about the ordinance that passed on Monday night in the city of Medina, in the county of Medina, in northeast Ohio. And that ordinance basically is comprehensive, giving LGBTQ protections. And the problem with that is that what about religious conscience? And that's what we were talking about in our letter to the council. But they were indifferent when it came to that. In their own, they would say that, well, we gave a religious exemption within the ordinance, and some think that that was what actually caused this thing to pass. But now you're talking about the city is facing basically lawsuits on both sides, because already it has been one city council or administrator said, when asked the question, well, what about such and such restaurant on the square that doesn't have the accommodation for restrooms of those who are confused about their gender identity? And he said, well, we have a public restroom 50 feet down the way from that restaurant. Well, Josh, as you can hear, there's already problems with that as well, because you go back to the civil rights movement. And they would claim that that's not equal and it's not accessible. Your thoughts?
Yeah, that's got a lot of truth to it. So the nobody thinks that the people who know, the activists on, I guess you could call it the gay rights side of things, nobody thinks that they're stopping at just trying to prevent discrimination. They're looking for affirmative affirmations of what they believe and forcing those views on other people. And the religious accommodations aspect of it, nobody thinks that they're seriously going to enforce that. And the best thing we can look at there is in the UK. In the United Kingdom, they passed a number of these laws with all kinds of what everybody thought was very solid exceptions for religious conscience. And it was just completely thrown out and ignored. And there's been a lot of literature that's discussed that in detail about how they just totally ignored it and trampled on it.
Well, that's right. And so what you have here, but for instance, but the city will be facing that lawsuit because what I was going back to is the city, the business, it did not have the restroom for that person. And then to suggest that they go and use another bathroom, it's tantamount to what happened in the civil rights movement. Since they're adding this gender expression with race and gender, so you have here a real Pandora's box legally, isn't that right?
Yeah, if you look at the designation of the condition, so in the handbook of this American Psychological and Psychiatric Association, they identify the condition as gender dysphoria, and the reason they do that is because there used to be called gender identity disorder. And they wanted it to be recognized as something less than a disorder, but they still wanted it to be recognized because of insurance coverage. And so they've all acknowledged that they cannot identify a biological predicate for that manifestation of gender dysphoria. And they also know that over time, the vast majority of people who experience gender dysphoria will learn to accept their gender over time. And there's a whole community now of people who were pressured into trying to change their gender, and they have recovered from the different things they went through and suffered through that. And so now we have people who are saying, I'm seeing what's going on out there, and I'm recognizing the biology that all the way at the molecular level, there's a clear difference between men and women. And so I don't want to affirm somebody's gender dysphoria or affirm the feelings that they're having. In any other type of psychology, you teach people to deal with the realities they face in life, not to embrace the dysphoria that they're experiencing. And that is tantamount to looking at somebody who is got anorexia and telling them, yes, you are fat. And so that's why people don't, that's one of the reasons for the sake of those people, we don't want to let them go into the opposite bathroom, because you're affirming a condition that needs to be treated, not helping them in any way. And that, and even if you don't agree with that, that's a very respectable viewpoint. And these activists on that, on the other side, they have no respect for anyone else's point of view. And like I said, the experience in Britain, and we've seen it across the country, they will not respect anyone's view. Their view, their goal is to use these laws as a club to force people to affirm their point of view.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all, so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation, this day have set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, and our civilization, and to set free a suffering humanity.
And the soldiers who stormed the beaches of Normandy and the Allied liberation of Europe. On D-Day, all those warriors set out on their mission. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt led our nation in prayer.
The D-Day Prayer Project is an effort to add FDR's D-Day prayer in its entirety at the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. This wonderful historical presidential prayer will be a lasting tribute to our World War II veterans. If you'd like to make a contribution towards the effort of adding this prayer to the memorial, go to the website at ddayprayerproject.org. That's ddayprayerproject.org.
We're talking with Josh Brown, and we're talking about the ordinance that was passed on Monday night in the city of Medina in Medina County in Northeast Ohio, an ordinance adopting new Chapter 717 of the Codified Ordinances of the City of Medina to prohibit discriminatory conduct on the basis of sexual orientation, gender identity, or expression. And therein lies the problem, because you have such ambiguity in the law that they have just codified in the city of Medina, and they've opened up themselves to a plethora of possible lawsuits against the city. Because this comprehensive ordinance provides for public accommodation, housing, and employment. It says, whereas non-discrimination protections are already afforded under state and federal law to protect against discrimination based on race, color, sex, religion, disability, national origin, ancestry, age, and military status, the discrimination occurred based on these protected classes can be sent to the Ohio Civil Rights Commission, Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, and or the U.S. Department of Housing and U.S. Development Offices of Fair Housing and Equal Opportunity. And so it goes on to say, and then to add, they're adding sexual orientation, gender identity, or expression. Now, you cannot pin that down, Josh. There's no definition there of what they just said in the law. Your thoughts?
Yes. That's exactly correct. And so if you look at the literature, and I'm not just talking about you know, what's on YouTube and things like that. But you look at the academic literature that attempts to explain these categories of individuals, they will tell you that this is what they say, that their sexuality or their gender identity exists on a spectrum, a continuum, and that it can change from moment to moment, day to day. So they can feel like a man one day, or they can feel like a woman more the other another time. And so you have this fluid sexual orientation or gender identity. And then they're asking employers to be obliged by this idea of civility to, but also at the risk of criminal penalties, to adjust their workplaces to suit and accommodate these types of changes. And so you're asking employers to take the burden of identifying these groups and then at the risk of criminal civil penalties to accommodate them in a way that makes them happy. And, you know, in the case of gender dysphoria, you have people who have a identified mental condition who are going to have leverage over employers if they don't get the accommodations that they want. And that's why you write they write the laws really ambiguously, because they know that they can't pass if they're really specific in saying what an employer has to do. But when the different issues come up, that's when they can be really used as a force, because all they have to do is allow for whatever enforcement they're looking for. And if there's anything that really characterizes how really laughable some of these identifications are, Wesleyan College was one of the first colleges that attempted to be fully inclusive in their acronym. And I'll read it off to you. This is their actual acronym in their bylaws: LGBTQQFAGPBDSM.
Oh,
that's
Lord.
Supposed to be as inclusive as they can be. So employers are supposed to know all this and be able to adjust to it under penalties of civil and criminal crimes.
Well, and that's right. And you can face penalties of fines in the city of Medina with this law that went into effect this week when the mayor signed it on Tuesday of this week. It passed Monday night. But much opposition came in by the citizens of Medina City itself. And there is an election coming in November. And there's already discussion among the people of Medina and people that night who were organizing, and they're running candidates against those five members who actually voted in favor of this ordinance over the objection of the city residents. And so it actually was just ridiculous that you had all these people that came in from outside the community, and Equality Ohio rallied them there, and they tried to intimidate. They tried to basically boycott. There were business leaders and there were clergymen who I talked to who were opposed to the ordinance but didn't want to come forward for fear of reprisal. They said, my business could not take that kind of hit when these people would give us difficulty and problem. And so there was that kind of rhetoric there that night. Now, we wouldn't have any of it. I presented our statement, and it was received well, and there was applause to our statement. And then gave others encouragement in the audience to go forward and speak to council in their opposition. There's also an effort for initiative petition process, and that's to overturn the action of council. And we live in a representative republic. The council does not have the final word. So in 30 days' time after the law is signed into law, the people of the city of Medina have the opportunity to circulate for petition, put it on the ballot, and overturn the action of council. That's being discussed as well. But elections have consequences. And folks, those in the city of Medina, if you know somebody in the county and city, look to help them, because they're going to get involved in the election process of these city council members. They're going to change some seats come November and revisit this issue. Because the people of the city of Medina haven't had the last word yet, and they're concerned about it, and rightfully so, concerning their daughters in schools, concerning the public restrooms and men who are going into women's restrooms in the city of Medina. And then what about the businesses that have to make brick and mortar changes to a third restroom? Josh, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'll tell you that the thing about identifying the category of people you're dealing with even the liberal side of, or whatever you want to call it, the gay rights proponents, they struggle to identify what group we're talking about. They debate over how fluid it is or whether it is fluid. And there is no consensus either among them or among the scientific community generally about what group that we're referring to. Now, in the business community, you're going to find two different groups. You're going to find especially large corporations are very favorable to it. And it's very much a publicity thing because there, we all know, you know, just the incredible bullies that people on that site can be and how they try to use these laws or try to use boycotts or whatever it is
to get their way. Well, they try to do that with the corporations. And yeah. That's why a lot of the corporations have said, let's just go along with it because we don't want a frivolous lawsuit. Well, you're listening to News in Focus, a broadcast of the Ohio Christian Alliance. If you missed any of today's interview, you can hear it in its entirety on our website at ohioca.org. Stay tuned. We'll be giving you updates about these SOGI-style laws and our opposition to them in protection of religious liberty. Josh, thanks for being my guest today.
Thank you, sir.
And we'll be having more information on our website. You can actually read the ordinance as it's proposed there. And then, of course, stay with us as we're going to hear about the Constitution, give you an opportunity to receive a free copy of the U.S. Constitution with the Declaration of Independence in the mail right on the other side of the break. God bless and thanks for listening.
You have been listening to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio.